Well, hello once again. Welcome to the 45th installment of Eurobash. I'm Peter Carroll, and I'm joined as always by my beautiful co-host, Noel McGrath.
45, not out.
That's it. Is that a cricket expression?
No.
Well, thank God for that.
No cricket after a weekend of golf, Petey.
Yes. Right. And we can talk about the fact that you once again gave me the right tip to win a lot of money on that tournament, and once again, I completely ignored it. But let's take a look at these news headlines first, and we'll talk a little bit more about that stuff later. Leon Edwards earns a statement win over RDA in the main event of UFC San Antonio. Quite a performance, wouldn't you say, Niall?
Yeah, sensational. Excellent again.
Can't believe he did it so one-sided, so dominantly.
It was. And maybe one round for RDA, but...
Oh, yeah, every round for Leon, the last one was very close. Yeah,
but superlative game. What can you say? Any doubters can literally... just shut their fucking mouths at this point because it really is ridiculous.
We'll be talking to Leon Edwards later on in the show. He gives us the full take on everything that happened in San Antonio and the state of his manager Tim Simpson's feet, which we're all looking forward to, of course. This is one I thought I added in here because I thought it might get you a bit excited. Darren Till hints at move to 185. Mm. Did you see that last week on Instagram?
Yeah, I
did.
Yeah, I was pleased to see it. You know, he's taking a good bit of time off. He's got the head together. It doesn't seem to be a knee-jerk reaction. And I think that's been very important to assess everything, weigh all the options out. And I think the move to 185 is definitely better for Darren. At this stage of his career as well, he's 26, 27. Go in there, make a statement. A better weight class where he can translate. I believe he'd be able to translate that power over. And I just think, you know, man, those cuts were just disgusting that he was making. And I think it's a sensible decision. And I'm glad he's done it and taken that time off. And hopefully, I'd like to see him back around November.
Yeah, it'd be great. And I mean, even looking at the UFC middleweight rankings, like, you know, there's some great fights in there.
Yeah, massively.
Brunson,
what do you think of it? Are you happy?
Silva. Yeah, I feel like he needed to make a decision one way or another, you know. As I said, I felt like the cut had improved a lot with Owen Gallagher. But, you know, if it's still a pain, like, just move up and optimize yourself up there. Like, keep the nutritionist, keep everything, because he'll have you at optimum at 185. Definitely. And I think that's what we want. Some great fights at middleweight for him. And, you know, it's going to be hard to... get into that title conversation at welterweight really now after two subsequent losses.
Definitely,
so yeah. Why not, I guess, for Darren Till. Glad to see him. I tried to message him today. It looks like his Instagram page is down.
Yeah, Darren's a tough man to get a hold of at the best of times. I did a few weeks ago as well, but no joy.
How about this one? Broken by the Irish Mirror, I believe it was on Tuesday morning. Michael Venom Page versus Richard Coyle. Yeah. Damn!
Yeah, you know what it is? Listen, you have to give Richard a lot of credit for, again, you know, creating his own narrative, getting a fight, pitching for God knows how long, tagging us and everything. And listen, you know, maybe it's not the fight to make in terms of, you know, what records both guys are at. And I think a lot of people would go along and agree with that. But listen, in terms of a striking matchup, Richard's a former kickboxing world champion as well. It could be an absolute barn burner, you know. And listen, why not? Richard's put it out there. He sold it. I think there's a lot of interest from the Irish fans anyway, so why not?
I mean, I saw a lot of people, you know, people like Capozzo, very respected members of the MMA community, talking about the step down and stuff like that. But and it is, like, there's no doubt about it that Douglas Lima is a more accomplished MMA fighter 100%. Than Richard Coyle. But will any other fight provoke this kind of interest? Like, Richard is going to be bombarding media, he's going to be making his own posts, he's got MVP to kind of trade barbs with him online already, so whatever he's doing is working. And look, I'm going to be very interested to watch that fight. I'm very interested. We're going to the media day tomorrow on SBG just to see some of these guys around each other. It's going to be very exciting. And on that card, it was announced on the Errol Hawani ESPN MMA show today, Miles Jury v Ben Henderson is also the headline fight somehow, as well as James Gallagher and Cal Eleanor. It's kind of, they're doing that two different card situation that they did the last time, right, in London.
Yeah.
It led to a few issues, and that's all I'm going to say about
that. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess again. So what I can make from it again is, right, so for Irish and UK fans listening in, it will be Virgin Media and Channel 5 again for the European series portion, which is James Gallagher and Cal Eleanor. And then from the press release, which isn't really the clearest in the world either, it basically says that Jury against Benson Henderson will be on the Sky Sports portion at 10 p.m. and it alludes to a 5-fight card. So I'm presuming we're getting 5 fights.
They're putting Henderson on Sky Sports instead of the looks of Gallagher in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the other way around, yeah. The same way, but it's just a mess, man.
Hopefully, we don't know if it's a mess. Last time we lost 3 or 4 fights, and that's all. If once we can watch all the fights, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, true. Right? True,
that's really all I care about.
It's still a pain in the ass, though, yeah.
Announced by MMA junkie Simon Head this morning, Cage Warriors Unplugged 2, a bantamweight tournament set to go down on September 6th. That's going to be in the BT Sports Studios.
The first one was, what, the night of Conor McGregor, and I remember we were watching
Eddie Alvarez.
You and I were watching
Julian Rosa v. Paddy Pimblett
in the media center in MSG. So that was great events.
And obviously Abu Dhabi's going to be on the same time. It's going to be Friday night, Saturday night situation. So unfortunately, I won't be able to go to it. I really want to go to one of those Unplugged shows. But, you know, you'd have to think Scott Malone's going to be involved.
You'd
have to think maybe Amer Singer.
Will Paddy be back by then?
Bantamweight tournament though, Paddy.
Is it just a bantamweight tournament?
I think it's 4 fighters in the bantamweight tournament. Okay. So I guess 2 semi-finals will go down.
Yeah.
And if Paddy, Paddy get up for that. If it was going to be there,
Damn right.
Very, very interested to see what happens there. You're at a wedding this week.
Yeah.
How are you getting on? You seem fresh enough, I'm going to say.
There was a lot of people sick at it. And there was a lot of drink at it as well. Dodgy
food.
So, yeah. All that, cheap catering. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't never drink too much pizza, you know.
No way.
No, never.
Stay within moderation all the time.
I'm a little bit tired.
Moderation McGrath, that's what
it's
called.
It's killing me, man, the heat. Yeah. We're not used to it. It's really hot today in Dublin. And I am just, I'm good. I'm actually not that bad. I think I'm just a bit congested, maybe more than anything. A bit of a cold coming on.
Did you see the John Jones news?
Yeah.
Alleged battery of a woman.
Yeah, alleged.
Yeah.
Man.
I know, but I mean, it's just another kind of...
Why is he going to nightclubs? Why is he going to whatever they were? A nightclub, I'm saying now. It could be a strip club, whatever. Who knows what it was.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the suggestion.
But, is he putting himself in these situations that there's a possibility that he might get in trouble? That's what's the real worry.
And Jones has come out and said, you know, don't believe everything you've read on the internet, but... Mark Raimondi had a date back to April, so it's crazy that we're hearing about it now, I guess. But
yeah, it was a long time ago. The lady's name was Cinnamon, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. That is
Brennan
Schaub
posted that earlier on.
Yeah, I'd say he regrets that one.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is this going to be a rant-free week? Like, we've got through the Bellator splitting of the card. We've got through Leon Edwards winning, which usually provokes maybe a round or two.
Yeah, no, but I think the thing with Leon, right, I just hope now that the English... and the British fans give him, you know, the respect
he's
he deserves.
He's the best active fighter in the country now, without a doubt.
In the roster, and you could even say in Europe.
Yeah.
He is.
Khabib,
I mean, in the welterweight division.
Yeah.
Incredible performance again. So smooth, so technical, so cool.
Yeah, his composure was just crazy.
Like, unreal. I mean, even in the fifth round, he's just there backing off against the defense. And just
have that one.
But that's what I think when a
fighter... He
kind
of RDA'd RDA.
He did RDA. That's not a bad way of looking at it, mate. No, but I was very excited to see that, because when you see a guy perform like that, it sort of tells you that he's at that level where he can win a world title. When he's that cool, calm, composed. We saw the same from Usman when he took the world title. Very, very important to keep as calm as he did. Incredible stuff.
One thing I noticed in comparison to him and Kevin Lee was Kevin Lee is nearly bracing himself for those surges that when RDA is pushing you backwards, whereas Leon looked like, this is completely what I expect. Mm. He waited for RDA to load up and then jab straight to the face, elbow over the top. Beautiful. That elbow is becoming his signature thing, man. So good.
Listen to takedowns as well.
In the first round. Like, there's so many different things to be impressed. His jab is incredible.
Throw into it. And some of his kicks as well. RDA was giving him the low kicks earlier on. Then he threw a few back in the third round.
He did say his leg was a bit sore when we talked to him earlier on. So, I mean, it's going to be, isn't it?
Listen, man. You know, 8 in a row now. You know... What did they do with him though? That's the thing now.
He's saying
Masvidal fight that he wanted and he called for.
I think
does he get Usman?
I think it's hugely important to look at that Colby Robbie fight and what happens there. Yeah. Is going to play a part here, as you keep reminding us. Colby and Masvidal is not off the table in any circumstances. They did say if they do it, they want to be for the belt out, right? I think that's what they said, right? So, I mean, I can see if Colby beats Robbie, the UFC might say, right, let's make Usman v. Colby, because there's a good bit of fire there. They've been in public having...
I think Colby is now at a point where he's not even worried about the belts. I think it's just money fights. And I think that will be a big money fight, but, you know, is it going to be the levels we're talking about? No.
No. I think Masvidal v. Leon has a lot of heat right now.
We said it when it originally, and I think they can still but
look, it's a bigger fight for Leon now because of what happened with Askren and Masvidal. Definitely. You know, and it's a bigger fight for Masvidal now because of what's happened with Leon and RDA.
Yeah.
It's a fight I'd love to see. I'd love if that was next and that was going to decide the next welterweight contender. But look, we won't leave you waiting anymore. Let's hear from the man himself. Let's hear from Leon Rocky Edwards, who has cemented himself as one of the most elite welterweights in the world. That 8-fight win streak, only second to that of Kamaru Usman. Unbelievable, unbelievable stuff at the weekend. Let's have a word with Leon. I'll be back to you in about 15. And now we are joined by, undoubtedly at this stage, the greatest fighter hailing from the UK at the moment. A man who has once again underlined how elite he is with a 5-round, one-sided victory over Rafael Dos Anjos. Let's call it what it is. And he is so kind to be joining us once again. It's Leon Edwards. Leon, how are you? And congratulations, sir.
Thank you, brother. And I'm good. Well rested. Just chilling.
That's good to hear. I was just wondering, did you expect it to be that easy? I had you winning every round. I was doing the kind of breakdown round by round for MMAfighting.com, and a lot of people had the same scorecard as me. I mean, did you expect it to be that easy? Because that's how you made it look.
He is good. He's a former champion, but all week I kept saying to the media that I am leaps above this man. But like I said, I had to go out and prove it. But I knew it's going to be that easy. I got a great fight IQ of the game. I can break fighters down to a T, and I knew everything he was going to do before he even threw it. So it was good.
Yeah, like that's one thing I asked you about. Now, it wasn't on the podcast last week, but when I asked you about Gunnar Nelson, who kind of gave me a great insight into your ability as a fighter and how tactically sound you are and how smart you are when you're in there. I mean, do you gain a lot from, say, like the likes of RDA's victory over Kevin Lee? I mean, is that something you studied a lot? Because the big difference I noticed between you and Kevin Lee is how composed you are. As RDA's bearing down on you, as he's trying to put that pressure on you, you were like, this is fine. I'm completely expecting this.
Yeah, I was relaxed. I was ready to go. We got strikers, 10 of a dozen in the UK. So I would not shy away from a striking battle. He's never been out of stroke. He's never been done what I've done to him. Compared to look when he fought Usman, when he fought Colby, I'm the only one that's cut him up and busted him up and outstruck him, you know what I mean? So I've got a great eye for the game. I know everything he's going to throw. I knew what he was coming in with, and I know I was going to get myself into. So the fight planned out, I thought it was.
And that left elbow, man, that's becoming your signature thing. I mean, every time you exit the clinch, bang. I don't even know how you do it. Like, I mean, how,
Larry.
That's it. I mean, is that something do you see that as your signature move now? Like, I mean, it's so impressive how you always seem to get it in just as the you disengage from the clinch.
Just as a break in the way. I've grown to realize that MMA fighters, they know nothing about the inside work. It's like boxing, they're good on the inside, and same as Muay Thai, they're very good at using like low knees and elbows on the inside. And I've grown to realize that the MMA guys, they haven't got no clue of working. Like, they're boxing on the inside, using elbows, knees, punches, mixing up. So I landed that elbow now in my last three fights. I've caught them with it, I've dropped them with it. It's a beautiful technique I've added to my game, and it's working wonders. So I'll keep chipping away I keep using it until someone can stop it. I can't see how they'll stop it, because it's hard to stop.
I've been asking you constantly, like, do you think this is the one where everyone gives you respect? But I'm not going to ask you that this time. I want to ask what this win has shown you. What do you take from this personally when you go out there and you beat a former champion, a guy like RDA, who is really, as I see it, a gatekeeper for the championship conversation in that weight division?
It's proof to me that what I'm doing everything right. I'm in the right mind frame. I'm in the right situation I'm in, and I'm at the right gym, and everything is right at the moment. So it proves to me that I am doing everything right. Do not change nothing, and just believe in myself, believe in my team, keep working hard, and I will get there. So I think it's proof to me that just keep doing what I'm doing. Keep doing what I'm doing. I'm competing. I'm beating former world champions, defending world champion as well in RDA. Some consider him in high remarks. You know what I mean? So to go out there and outclass him in every way, shape, and form, it proved to me and my team that we are doing everything right, and let's keep working, keep chipping away. Get that title shot next. If not, give him that weasel.
I'm going to ask you about that later on. But one thing we find hilarious is in March, everybody is saying, oh my God, Leon Edwards isn't the best welterweight in England. Darren Till is. And now everyone, like now, a few months later, is like, this guy is clearly the best fighter in England. I mean, you've been saying this for a long time, but I mean, does it feel good? Does it feel good that everyone's saying it now?
It feels great. Not just the slowly realizing it, slowly but surely they're all clocking on now. But I've been saying this for a long time. I'm one of the best fighters in the world. I should not lose to these guys, and I am leaps above these guys. So I'm happy now, finally, the fans are clocking on, the general fans are clocking on, and the MMA media is clocking on, that I am one of the best fighters from the UK now.
You even seem that you think you're one of the best in the world. Maybe the best in the UK is selling it short a bit, is it, Leon?
Yeah. I am one of the best in the world, that's a fact. But far as the UK go, that's just a done deal. But I'm one of the best in the world, and I can't wait to get my title shot to prove that I am the best in the world, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, and let's talk about the man you previously referred to as the weasel there. I think we all know who you're talking about. It's Jorge Masvidal, and I think you did exactly the right thing by getting on that mic and calling his name. And, you know, he's come straight back out, and his claims that, you know, you're putting people to sleep. What do you think of that? Do you think this guy knows that you have a style that will be very, very bad for him? Do you think that's the way he's thinking here? He doesn't want to take a risk against a guy like you?
He's making every excuse in the book, brother. Every time I fight, he's got another excuse. No, because of this, because of that, because of this. He's a journeyman. He's a journeyman of the game. He's, what, 2-2, 2-3 in his last 5 fights? You know what I mean? So I see him as a journeyman in the game. Got two lucky wins, and that's it. He's going around demanding shit like he's done something. He's a journeyman in the game, and that's it. Let's prove to the world that he's one of the best fighters in the world. You know what I mean? Let's prove to the world he's talking all this, like a gangster and all this. Stop running off. Stop making excuses. Let's make the fight happen and let's get it done.
But do you feel as though that's why he's doing it? He's doing it because he doesn't like your style for him. He's looked at what you've done to RDA and he said, maybe this isn't a good idea.
I feel so. I'm one of the worst matchups for him. He's nothing compared to RDA. I believe RDA is a way better fighter than him. So I believe so. He knows that once he locked in the cage with me, he got no chance of winning that fight. You know what I mean? And there goes his title dreams gone. So I think he's trying everything he can to hold on to that little spot he's got to try get a title shot. But I don't think he deserves it, and he needs to fight me.
You wrote a fantastic piece for ESPN along with my good friend Mark Raimondi, and it really gave us an insight that we'd never seen before into your life, your early life in Kingston, Jamaica, and then your life coming up in Birmingham. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I really congratulate you for putting yourself out there like that. But one thing that kept on going through my head as I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about all the fans saying, oh, he's scared, a life that you've led, like, they surely have to understand now, there is absolutely no way that you're afraid of this situation with Masvidal. I mean, there's no way.
No way, shape, or form, bro. It was funny. It was like, when I read the social media after, I think when it happened, the incident happened, and everyone was like, oh, he's not about that life, he's scared. I was like, you guys don't know, I haven't got a clue about my life, or what I've been through, what I'm like, and you haven't got a clue, you know what I mean? So it's all fun, it's all laughable to me. I laugh at them comments, but that man's a weasel. He's not on my level. I'll school him when the time comes, and I'll show the world once again I am the best fighter in the world.
We see, like, obviously Colby and Robbie is coming up here. Is there a better way this could go for you? Like, I mean, like, is it better, do you think, if Colby wins? Because maybe they'll set up the Usman fight, and then Jorge will have pretty much no choice but to fight you for a number one contender situation. Is that how you're seeing it? Like, it's better for you because you might get Masvidal if Colby wins? Do you see any kind of situation there?
Probably, definitely better if Colby wins. But like I said, they'll probably give him the title shot, and then Masvidal got nowhere else to run. You know what I mean? You have to fight me then for number one contender spot, then go from there. But I also want to fight Usman, so I don't want that fight to happen and Colby somehow beat Usman. Now that fight's gone. You know what I mean? So I want to get all them fights in, man. So I don't want none of them fights to get away from me. I want that weasel. and I want a rematch against Usman, and that's it. So,
is there a better option though? I mean, would you prefer? Like, I mean, like it sounds like right. The title fight is about legacy. Is about getting that win back. Whereas with Masvidal, this is so much heat and it's simmering. I mean, is there a better option? And I really feel that if you went in there and it goes the way you think it would against Masvidal and you beat him, that opens you up to a huge audience because of the amount of kind of traction he's generated lately. Is there a better option for you?
My focus is to be a world champion. I mean, it's not Masvidal. It's to be a world champion. So if I can get the title shot before Masvidal, that'll be perfect. I'll beat Usman, then beat Masvidal. But if they're not giving me that and they want to give me Masvidal first, then that's another perfect situation as well. Like I said, that also up to a purpose to a bigger audience. I get to school the weasel and then onto Usman. So either or, I do not give a shit. I am ready to go. I am one of the best fighters in the world, and I'll prove it time and time again.
I'm thinking about UFC London. I know it's a long way away, but we always know it's in March. Like, I mean, like it's hard to deny that you are going
to
be
at the very top. Birmingham, bro.
Yes, you've been saying this for years, right? You've been saying this for years.
You need to come to UFC Birmingham, man.
And I see Ariel Helwani's trying to take it as his idea now as well. This was your idea.
No, that's my idea. I've been saying this for years, bro. They need to come back, man. They need to come back. MMA now is growing so much in my city. Especially with me and my brother doing what we're doing, and it's amazing now in our city. So to come back, it'll be amazing. So hopefully.
And you keep on winning. Do you feel as though that's becoming a stronger possibility? Like the UFC is like, holy shit, Leon's keeps on doing exactly as he says he's going to do. Do you feel like as you win more, they're kind of opening up to the idea?
Yeah, I think so. I think the more I win, they have no choice. Let's make Mustard over and me in Birmingham.
Oh my!
That, you probably wouldn't make it back home, to be fair. But, but let's make me and him in Birmingham. How big would that be?
That'd be huge.
That'd be a card to make. That'd be a huge card to make. So let me and him headline Birmingham, and then go from there.
Now I have to ask you. I have great respect for your manager Tim Simpson, and you know he comes to these events. And just one issue I have with him is he's always trying to upstage his guys when it comes to the shoe game. I mean, in Stockholm, he was wearing these PlayStation numbers, and I could see Jimmy Manoa looking at him like, "Come on, this is meant to be about me, Tim. Why are you making it about you?" Did he try and do the same thing to you in San Antonio? That's what I want to know.
He tried to, but he cannot keep up with my shoe game. My shoe game is a low level, so he got some big ass feet. But apart from that, he cannot keep up with my shoe game.
So you feel like you won the war between you and Tim Simpson on footwear?
I won it. I don't think I got enough good shoes for his size. He's like size 13, size 14. So there's not much good shoes that can come in them sizes.
But surely we have to give him credit then. The length he must have to get himself a pair of shoes. Nike must have to specially make these things, right?
It's crazy. He was living with him for 2 weeks in San Antonio, and his toes are so long. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, why is the toes so long? It's mad.
maybe if you know get a few more wind bonuses, you could do some kind of surgery for him so he's able to buy normal shoes. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But Leon, thank you so much for getting on to me. I really, really appreciate it. What's up with you now for the next day or so? Are you flying home? Are you already home? Are you still in San Antonio?
I am back home now. I fly home yesterday, so I got back this morning. I am jet lagged, so I'm gonna try to get some sleep tonight and just chill, recover. My legs are a bit sore from the leg kicks. That's about it, really. Just chill, recover. Let's plot and see where we'll go next.
And is there big celebrations in the Edwards household? Like, will you all get together to celebrate this win before you kind of...
Yeah, my mom, a great cook, says you're cooking up a big meal, and everyone comes around, my family comes around, and it's meant to be a heat wave as well in the UK in the next few days, so probably put a barbecue on, just enjoy it with my friends and my family, and just celebrate success and good living.
Brilliant, Leon. You're the man. I really appreciate you. I know all the fans are going to be delighted to hear from you, and I can't wait to see what's next. It's going to be exciting, whatever happens, I'm sure.
Good man, bro. Thank you for having me.
All the best, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And absolutely brilliant to hear from Leon Edwards. A great guy for coming on, staying loyal to the Euro Bash. Gotta love that.
You got him, Leon.
Yeah, you're one of us now. But
you're Irish.
Yes. We claim you. Sure. The UK fans haven't enjoyed you enough, so we're just going to claim you as one of our own.
They didn't grab Larry yet anyway.
But Well, let's talk about that elite performance, really. Like, shocked me. We talked about it at the start, but I mean, when you consider that Jorge Masvidal gets on the Twitter straight after and replies to Edwards, is that not a more positive situation?
Yeah,
the
it
fact
is.
That he is playing ball with him, so to speak.
You it know is. What, I mean? What did he tweet? I didn't see it.
I made my, like, basically the gist of it was, I've made my name from putting two people to sleep. You put whole crowds to sleep with how you fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but anyone who's watching clearly knows it's a masterful thing that happened there, you know?
Clearly he's going, watching the fight, going, fuck, this guy is good.
Yeah. That's what Leon kind of said. He thinks he's a worse matchup for him. Like, you
he's
know?
Poking a finger of a little bit of interest there. If he wasn't interested, he wouldn't have tweeted.
No, I don't think so. I think that's how astute he is. Like, he just cut that off. Don't want to give this any oxygen.
Exactly. So,
and imagine the shit talk. Like, I could see this bringing Leon's personality right out because...
Well, the UFC made a mess of...
Well, they did originally. Really.
They could have made more of it.
Yeah. And I mean, but I feel like, as I said to you before, I feel like it's on the slow boil. I feel no matter what time you bring this up, it's going to be a thing. And I
but
don't
like,
know
do you not remember at London, though? We got no answers. The press conference was cancelled, obviously. Yes. But we got no answers again, really, after that. It was from the two fighters. It wasn't from the promotion. There was no Dana White coming out condemning those actions. It was just weird. It was
Ben Askren actually had a really
weird.
Good take on
this. Well, he was the one who was talking the shit about than anyone.
But the thing he said, I thought that was very clever. They asked him, if you were Leon Edwards, how would you have got the Jorge Masvidal fight? And he said, oh, we just told him I was pressing charges unless he fought me.
That's not a bad idea.
And I was like, yeah, well, it's gone now. Yeah. I just think, you know, and I also feel like that ESPN article that I know you were at the wedding all week, so you probably didn't see it, but Mark Raimondi and Leon did a great article about his life in Kingston, Jamaica, and then moving to Birmingham and getting caught up in the gang culture, etc.
Yeah.
And I just think that article going out really kind of threw a lot of water on the people who are suggesting, oh, Leon is afraid of this. Like, this guy had a lot of hardship in his life, you know, a lot of hardship.
He's not afraid, man.
When you
go out, and we talked about it just before we went to the interview with Leon, and you're so cool and calm and connected like that, that guy doesn't give a shit about a lot of people you'd be able to put in front of his face.
Mentally strong, really mentally strong.
Unbelievable, man. And I think we look back at some of, you know, the fights on this 8-fight win streak as well. You know, I remember when he fought Albert Timonov, we spoke about
this
last
week. This is a bad one for him.
It's not a good one for him.
Heavy left hand.
What happens?
Yeah. Choke that
man.
He
silenced everyone.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's unreal. And I think his record he's put together is undeniable now since that Usman loss. Walt Harris, he got rid of Alexei Sharpish.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Flying knee, then the left hand, off you go.
12 seconds, was it? 12, 13?
11.
11 seconds.
Sorry, 12. You're correct. I'm wrong.
Jesus, yeah. It wasn't much of a...
sorry, I got it wrong. Okay?
Alexei looked like he buckled his knee or something as well on the way out, or ankle.
Yeah, he was kind of stumbling out.
Yeah, it looked nasty at the time, but like... I know John Anik was, you know, very vocal in terms of, we've a contender here, do we?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I know like one win a heavyweight can go a long way, but I mean, Alexei didn't look up to it against Overeem and didn't look up to it against Walt, obviously. You know, one thing I'll say for Leon as well, to fight on the same card as Greg Hardy, who's a lightning rod for the sport at the moment, and for Leon to be the guy that's being talked about all over the world now is a really good sign, because usually when Greg Hardy fights, it's usually outrage, just different emotions about Hardy that's overwhelming the news feeds, basically. But I'm seeing a lot more for Leon, and that's a good sign. But Juan Adams had a bit of a mare, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was willing to die for that single leg, man. And if you haven't read Chuck Mendenhall's article about this on the
what's he trying to do? Like, his head is, it's just like,
he's
there.
He must be like,
he hasn't moved. He's tried to move to the left or the right. Like,
a guy of his size, when he's in the gym, I'd say he doesn't, like, when he gets in on your leg like that, he's taking everyone down. Like, he's just too big. Like, I mean, usually a guy like that who has D1 wrestling experience, I'd say when he's on your leg, he knows you're going down. So I'd say, like, he was in a situation there where he's on the leg going, why isn't this guy moving? Oh, he's going to have to go. And he eats 30-odd shots to the head, and the referee does the right thing. Like, I mean, if you're not intelligent,
defend
yourself.
He wasn't doing anything.
Like, I think it kind of points to the athlete Hardy is. The power he possesses, the strength. And
do we give him credit after that one? I gave him credit after the last one. I thought he improved.
I don't know. You see, so quick, it's very hard to know if he improved. I think Juan Adams was, like, you know, he was kind of responsible for his own downfall there a lot. Like, and I think that's why he was so pissed off following the fight.
Really,
his gum shield into the crowd. And, you know, I'm sure in his head, he's like, why did they stop it? I was fine. But the referee can just see you eating 30 odd unanswered shots, so that's the end of it. No bother there. But I'm still, the jury's out for me on Hardy. I don't think he's a great fighter. I still think he's learning, and I feel like
is there anything they can do with him next, though? There's nothing really obvious that stands out.
I haven't seen anyone
a
make a really good call. Usually you see people online having a shout. Like, I don't know. I don't really.
It's a tough one to gauge, isn't it?
Well, it's like you have to bring in a different caliber of fighter for Greg Hardy, because
I'll fight him.
For the right money, I'll fight him. But moving on to Dan Hooker, who had a fantastic performance. We kind of called this. We had a good feeling he would knock out James Vick, but I mean, he did it very quickly. I mean, Jesus Christ, that left hook sent him hurtling. He was down, man.
First of all, James Vick needs to take some time off. That's three bad losses in a row. Tough fights where he's, you know, maybe not the Felder one, but he did take a fair bit of damage in that as well. But, you know, we look at the Gaethje fight, we look at that fight, you know, he's getting planted right out there, man. And, you know, really good from Hooker, and I hope he gets his just desserts after, calling for the Australian card with his good pal Israel Adesanya. And I think...
he deserves, like, get him on there. Like, I mean, that's
a no-brainer.
I think that's in the UFC's interest to have him there, you know?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. But interesting to see as well that Ally Akinta was on Twitter.
That's a great fight.
It is.
That's a great fight.
It is. And I think that will be a great one for that card to serve. Somewhere obviously in the top half of that card will be brilliant. Really, really impressive from Dan Hooker again. What can you say? Bouncing back as well from a tough loss against Edson Barboza.
Fight, and a fight where everyone was like, oh, they should have thrown in the towel earlier. He looked fantastic.
Nah, he showed real heart in that fight.
He's an animal.
He is, definitely.
Rounding out the main card, it was Alexander Hernandez taking a decision win over Francisco Trinaldo. People disputing that one a bit online. A lot of people had it for Trinaldo. Very close fight, that was a run of 9 decisions or something. I think it was 9 or 10.
Nine, I think, yeah.
So that's the most consecutive decisions ever.
Is it? Fucking hell. It was a lot.
When are you going to apologise or... For what? Said about Andrei Arlovski, or?
Oh, come on. Like, it wasn't that. What do you mean?
Like Muhammad Ali in there.
Will you get out of here?
It's like
you?
A young Ali.
Will you stop? It was a bloody poor standard
he's
fight.
He's obviously back in the prime of his career now. Like, happening.
He's back. He's going to win the world title.
That's what I think.
Listen.
Greg Hardy v. Andrei Arlovski.
Yeah, there you go. Do it. I don't care. I'd watch that.
Greg Hardy
definitely.
Would die in there, man. That was a bit strong.
Was a bit strong. But no, listen. I didn't really see a lot in that fight. Ben Rothwell was hurt after the first 30 seconds.
That's how lethal Andre is now.
I know, yeah. He's just he's a killer. He's a world champion again.
ATT.
Shut the fuck up.
Wow.
No, listen, it was what it is what it is, or whatever you want to fucking say. Do you know what I mean? But it was, come on, PT, come on.
Brilliant. I thought he was majestic. I think
stop?
That's the best
You're
he's looked in a
here,
long,
like,
long time.
No,
it
was. He's looked in about 6 fights. And not that, it couldn't have gotten any worse.
That was...
Remember the Stefan Struve fight? Probably the worst fight I've ever watched in UFC history.
Was just afraid to let the hands go, I think. And then we've seen it there the other night. And
we put on a better display.
I don't think so.
For a whole half a minute.
It'd be a frantic 30 seconds. Alex Caceres gets a decision over Steven Peterson. Raquel Pennington gets a split decision win over Irene Aldana. Clitson Abreu gets a decision win over Sam Alvey. Jennifer Moya gets a decision win over Roxanne Mataferi. That was not a great fight. Ray Borg, very emotional scenes, him getting over Gabriel Silva's child in attendance. That was really cool. Yeah. And starting the card, Mario Batista v. Jin Soo Sun, he gets the decision there, does Mario. And Felipe Corrales gets a split decision win over Domingo Pilarte. I think that's his name. Didn't really tuned in for the main card because I had to do live blogs and I wanted to be well rested. So didn't get to see the beautiful decision fest. But commiserations to all who did. I guess Edwards is the big talking point coming off this card. But second only to Andrei Arlovski, of course. But is that what the big takeaway? Do you think he's the story of the event? Anything else jumping out to you?
No. Well, Leon, that's good. Give him the respect he deserves.
Put some respect on his name.
Put him respect on his name, man. Listen, Leon deserves the respect now. If anyone's still doubting him, any English UK fans, get a life. Support him, you know. Great, great, great.
They're great fans when they're behind you, so I just don't understand it. Why is this so difficult? Yeah. Like, I was like, is it because he carried a Jamaican flag out once? Like, he's born there. What do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They
supported Lennox Lewis.
Sorry?
They supported Lennox Lewis and he was clearly Canadian.
Yeah. Way more non-UK than Leon.
Get behind him.
Right, let's go to our second interview of the day. It's a man I've been dying to speak to. ever since he shocked the world at UFC 239 with a left hook knockout of Luke Rockhold, which he had actually predicted on Fight Week, which was amazing. So it's Mr. Jan Blachowicz, former KSW champion, and a guy who's really propelled himself back into the talking points of that light heavyweight division now. So we wanted to talk to Jan about his outrageous predictions, the fact that he thought Thiago Santos could do a good job against John Jones, and the fact that he called his own knockout, and what he's looking for next. He's actually calling for Dominic Reyes, Anthony Smith, or a title shot. So let's hear from the man himself. We'll be back in about 10.
And now we are joined by the man who shocked the world earlier this month by KOing Luke Rockhold with a technique he predicted in a round that he predicted. Who else could it be other than Jan Blachowicz? How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm great, thank you.
I gotta say, man, are you just home from America now? Have you guys been in the US? Yeah. What have you guys been doing?
After the fight, I stayed with my friends and with my fiance for 2 weeks vacation in the USA. And today, a couple hours ago, I just coming back to Poland.
Well, and what parts of the US did you travel to?
Yeah, we're going to, first of all, to LA for 1 week, and another week we spend in Florida, Miami.
Wow. And what, did you have a good time?
Really, really nice. Really nice 2 weeks, you know. I think I deserve for this vacation, so it's a really nice time over there.
Yes, you definitely do deserve a vacation. And I'm wondering, when you're in the US, after KOing a guy who was massively popular in the US, did you notice a lot? Did a lot of people notice you? Were people coming up to you and asking you for pictures?
Yeah, I feel it. You know, people start to recognize me on the beach, on the airport, almost everywhere. So it was really nice, you know. It was something nice for me.
Would you say?
Of course, after the fight, a lot of people waiting for me in the hotel, you know, make photo with me, have a five, you know, so it was really, really nice.
Amazing. It's what you deserve. It's what you deserve, and it's such a huge win. Does it feel like the biggest win of your career?
Maybe, but still, I believe that the biggest is somewhere in the future, you know? Still
yes.
Waiting for me. But till this time, I think this is the biggest one.
When you were predicting how this would go down, did you ever feel like you were giving up your game plan, that maybe Luke Rockhold would see that you're talking so much about the left hook, and in the second round, did you think about that at all, that maybe he could be...
All the time.
Right.
I said before the fight in the interviews that I'm going to knock him out in second round. You know, I believe in that I can knock him out. I see this in my dreams when I do my mentality training and stuff like this. I all the time see this left hook that will knock him out. And like I said before, that I watch his fight against Michael Bisping, the second one, when he also knocked him out by left hook. And I just feel in my, you know, all my body feel that will come. You know, and I will do this.
And then the Polish steel came. The Polish steel. That's what we've been calling it here. The strength of your left hand. We call it. It's like Polish steel, like Polish metal.
Polish steel. I like it. It's okay.
Was it more satisfying to beat a guy like Luke because he seemed to be overlooking you, because he was talking about Jones so often? Was it more satisfying for you to win in that way because of the way he was ahead of the fight?
Yeah, it was, you know, knockout always tastes better, you know. You can win by submission, by decision, but knockout always tastes the better. You know, this is the best feeling when you knock someone out, you know. I don't want to break his jar, you know, but I want to knock him out, you know. And I did it. And it's, you know, great feeling.
Did you see in the post-fight press conference that Dana White was saying that he thinks Luke should retire? Do you feel like that's a bit hasty? Maybe they're getting too crazy with sentiments like that? Like, do you feel like...
I don't know. You know, a lot of people go to retire and then after that they coming back. I don't like when someone would say that, okay, now I'm going to retire. You know, they make party, you know, they celebrate, they go to retire. And 2 years later, okay, I coming back, you know. So we will see. This is his decision. We will see what he's going to do. It's not my business right now.
I think you...
I wish the best in his life, and that's it.
Yes, yes. You also told me before that event, because obviously Thiago was fighting John Jones in the main event, and you were saying, you know, I really believe in Thiago. You were saying, you know, I believe he can definitely give Jones a good fight, but it was a really amazing fight that he put on against Jones. Were you surprised by how good he was?
No, because I know that he can won this fight, you know, but Jones was better. But everybody see that Thiago also was good in this fight. And, you know, I trained with him before my fight. We do last two or three sparring sessions in Vegas with Thiago, and I know that he's really good, in really good shape. And I know that he can do a really good fight against John Jones.
Yes, especially when you consider how injured his knee was very early on in the fight. Yeah. It's quite impressive.
Yes, it is. You know, we are the fighters, and that's it. You want to fight and win the fight. So after the fight, you're going to, you know, go to a doctor and repair yourself.
After the fight, a lot of people seem to think that John Jones is not invincible anymore. A lot of people feel like Santos has given a good blueprint on how to beat Jones. Like, do you feel after watching that fight that Jones is more beatable of a fighter?
I don't know. You know, everyone is different, you know, and someone is good for you, someone is not good for you. You know, some style of fighters, you like it, and someone style you don't like it. And you never know, you know. It's also how you feel in the day fight. I don't know.
There were many people that were kind of saying if Luke Rockhold had have won, he would have fought Jones. Is there any part of you that's like, maybe I should be fighting Jones next in this situation? Is that?
I hope so. If that's true, that when he will win against me, he's going to have a title shot. So it's normal that I should have title shot right now, you know. It's normal for me.
Do you feel close? Does it feel close for you at the moment? Maybe closer than it has before? I know that you have put together some great runs with the UFC, and I know that you are coming into this fight off a loss, but because of the opponent you've beaten, a former world champion, do you feel like you are very close to this now?
I hope so. I believe in that I'm really close. Maybe one more fight and then title shot, or maybe now title shot. We'll see. We have to, you know, speak with the UFC about this. My manager has to do this, and we'll see what's gonna be next. I hope so. The next fight will be for the title, but we will see. Maybe Anthony Smith, or maybe Dominic Reyes. Yes.
Dominic. Yes. They are very good fights.
Only these three fighters, you know, interest me right now.
Anthony
Smith.
The first
one is of course John Jones, and if not John Jones, so would be Anthony Smith or Dominic Reyes.
And when ideally would you like to fight again? Because a lot of people have been asking, you know, when do we think we're going to see you back again? I know you've only fought earlier this month, but is there an ideal time for you? Would you like to fight again before the end of the year?
I don't know. I'm just coming back from my vacation. I need, you know, go to the gym, make a few trainings to see how I feel, and then I can say, okay, after 2 months, I was going to be ready, maybe two months. Of course, in this year, but I don't know when.
So you've been away celebrating in the U.S., and now you've come home. Does this mean you have to celebrate again? Do you have to go and celebrate with your family and friends?
It's enough celebrating. It's enough. Of course, I will go to see my friend, eat some, you know, dinner with them, but no more drinking.
You could be competing at heavyweight next. Is that what you're telling us?
Right now? Yes, heavyweight, of course. Right now, I'm a big heavyweight guy.
Jan, you're an absolute gentleman, and I just want to congratulate you again on a fantastic win. And just one more question. If it does come down to Anthony Smith or Dominic Reyes, who would you prefer? Who do you think is a better matchup for you?
I think both these guys, they are really good sportsmen, really good fighters, and you know, gonna be pleasure for me to fight or Dominic Reyes or Anthony Smith, but I would like to fight against John Jones.
Absolutely. And you like that fight? Yeah. Do you think you give him a different look as well than Thiago did with Jones? Do you think that it's a different kind of fight for him?
Of course, because, you know, I'm a completely different fighter than Thiago is. Different style, different move, different speed, so of course it's gonna be a different fight.
Jan, thank you so much for doing this. I can't wait to see what's next.
Thiago showed me a few things what I can use against John Jones.
Very good.
But this I will tell you after the fight.
So no predictions beforehand.
Gonna be.
Yes. Jan, you're a gentleman. I can't wait to see you back in there. Congratulations on a fantastic win. And thank you so much for giving us your time today.
No problem. I thank you also. And see you next time.
All the best, sir. Bye-bye.
All the best for you also. Thank you.
Great to hear from Jan Błachowicz. He didn't like me calling his left arm Polish steel. He didn't quite like it. He said it was fine. He just was like, what do you mean? And I was like Polish metal. And he's like, nah, that's okay. But fair play to him. He's only back from the US today, so great for him to get on the phone and speak to us.
All of them go back so quick.
Well, Jan's been there for 2 weeks.
All right, fair enough. So he wants to see the family and stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, great to speak to him. Let's take a look at this weekend's action, beginning with UFC 240. It's that title fight. Controversial when it first arrived out. The meeting of Max Holloway v. Frank Yeager. One thing I'll say for Frank Yeager here, he's fighting Max Holloway at the right time. He's just fought at 55. He was in a war with Dustin Poirier, and here comes this fight. I think it's a good time for Frankie to be fighting Max Holloway. What do you think?
Yeah. I think so. It's going to be interesting to see who bounces back after losing to Dustin. Frankie put on a pretty impressive performance last time out as well, bouncing back also from defeat against Brian Ortega. So, yeah, listen, you know, a lot of people are sort of moaning about what they were going to do and about Frankie getting that title shot. But listen, it's there now. It's a good fight.
Why cry over spilt milk, as they say?
Exactly, it is. Listen, Frankie's an all-time great. You know, Max Holloway is two really good fighters, two fighters I love watching. I think we're in for a really good fight, but obviously I think you're going to have to favour Max Holloway.
I agree. Chris Soyborg's in an interesting situation in the co-main event against Felicia Spencer, who got that debut win over Megan Anderson. Yep. Chris is approaching her final fight with the promotion, but you know, I feel like this is a win. This is going to be a win for her, and then maybe give her a better kind of point for leverage then the next time it comes around.
What do they do with her if she wins? Do they do the Nunes fight? Are they going to do a rematch?
That's the one, isn't it?
I suppose so. It's the only one that, like, what else has Nunes got to do at this point? You know what I mean? She's beaten everyone. She's starched everyone, let's be honest about it. And, I think it is. It is the one to do. But I'm interested to see how Felicia Spencer gets on here. She's looked pretty decent.
She looked good against Megan Anderson, definitely she did. But Megan's been very disappointing. So
yeah, massively. You know, I'm not a big fan. I don't slate Megan or anything, but you know, I think there's just way too many areas. We've all been in the past, her stand up, she gets hit too much.
She's just out grappled every fight, I feel like. As soon as it goes to the ground, she finds it very difficult, you know. And I feel like really when they were bringing her over from Invicta, there was all those issues at the start. It was really time to make that Soyborg fight then.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, now she's kind of become the person who creates the next opponent for Chris Soyborg. Yeah.
That's it. That really is it. That's the way they have to look at it, because they don't have a plethora of options like they do in the other women's division. So, it's tough.
This card isn't fantastic outside the main and co-main. We have a few European attractions on there. I don't know if we can claim Ironman Sarzukian as one of ours. He fought Islam Makhachev in his last fight, and he gave him a very good go, it has to be said. So fair play to him. He's fighting Oliver Oban Mercier, the Canadian gangster himself.
Yeah.
We also have on the main card Christoph Jocko, who's recently returned to winning ways, and he'll take on Marc-Andre Barriot, it looks like to me. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah,
that's the one.
That looks like what it says to me as well, Mr. Carroll. So, yeah, we'll go along with that one.
There's a really nice flyweight fight on the undercard with Alexander Pantoja and Davison Figueiredo. Jesus Christ, these names. All Brazilian action there. Like, that's going to be right at the top there, that flyweight division now. That's nearly a contender for you at this stage.
Definitely. Pantoja, we've been a big fan of his for a long, long time.
Even though he took out my favourite.
Neil.
Yeah, we don't want to...
But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Hakim Dawoodu as well. Like, in fairness, he was pretty impressive. against, yeah, I think that was a joke against Kyle Bochniak when he got that split decision. It was a piss take. He clearly won the,
you playing the
three rounds. Really, why?
Your foot was going
to... I was itching, sorry. Didn't pick it up on this. But looking forward to seeing him back in there as well. Yeah, it isn't great. I wouldn't be massively excited about this card. I love the main event.
I do like me and Hakeem, though. He's a good fighter to watch.
Yeah, he is good. And yeah, that's, you know, for me... Yeah, well, let's outside, go to the, outside of that, nah.
Let's go to the card everybody's talking about. Brave CF24.
Jesus.
Won't be attending the event, but, you know, I think they lost a big fight there in Amir Albazi and Blaine O'Driscoll. Like, Amir's out of the fight. That was a huge one for Blaine, I felt. Like, Amir's well-respected. The only fight he's lost to was Jose Torres for the Brave title. If Blaine had won that fight, he would have been up for probably another world title fight. So, tough one there. I thought that was a really good fight. Bubba Jenkins is taking on Lucas Martins. It's a high level fight there in the main event, but you know, Cian Cowley is taking on Magic in the co-main event. Aidan James, Cameron Els. I mean, Ian Cleary, SBG Charlestown, yeah, is the curtain jerker for this event. Like, I mean, there is some intrigue there from this part of the world, but I can't help but notice, like, it seems like they're spending more money on guest fighters than they are putting the fight card together. Like, I mean,
it's not one. You know, some of the emails I think from the PR team have been, they'd be more like, I don't even know what you call
media
them.
Nerdy, like, it's,
yeah, it's like they're teasing us when they're supposed to be
telling us
information.
Yeah, they're having a big auction.
Yeah, very.
Apparently, Artem is going to discuss a fight with Amir
yeah,
Khan.
Yeah, you know, John Kavanagh is in attendance. Yeah,
lots
all
of
these,
people in attendance. Jimmy yeah. Manoa. Aaron yeah. Chalmers, like, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be amazing. Man, I don't know what, you know, I don't know what these, I don't know what their long term plan is, really. It feels
like they're trying to stimulate media interest through everything but the fights.
Yes.
And that's so, just a bit weird for me.
It's the package around it. When, you know, not necessarily, you know, I don't think people are going to be too drawn to the card. Like, if you're paying money for it as well, like, I don't.
It's
really,
invite only.
Yeah, invite. I know. Yeah, is this the invite only one? I thought it was in Belfast or something. I don't even know what's going on here with this.
That wedding took its toll.
It did take its toll. Sorry about that. I'm just a bit flustered here.
But it's a bit weird, right? And I understand IMF do a lot of business with the promoter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the events take place in Bahrain and stuff like that. And this promotion is born out of Bahrain. But I just didn't think that was a good look, the IMF kind of saying, this is going to be a pivotal moment in MMA history or something today. And stay out of that stuff. Like, you guys should just be only dealing with amateur stuff. Like, you know, 100%. That should be the way it is.
It is, yeah. It's not a good look. And I think it's something really that has clouded a lot of things with IMF in terms of what they're doing, you know, with the Worlds, with the Europeans, all that, their partners. But listen, yeah, as you said, maybe just keep that out of it and don't really say much or get involved in it. And I think that's the best way to approach it. But I don't know. I don't know who's writing those press releases anyway. They're bizarre.
I will try and get a pass to watch it. You know, just to see the lads that we know.
Oh, no, definitely. No, I agree. But if they're looking for big bucks for, you know, they're not going to get it on pay-per-view because I'm not being disrespectful, but, you know, I'm not sure the strategy's been right in how they've promoted it.
It seems, yeah, like, I mean, the fights should be taken pride of place.
Yeah, and it's not.
Yeah.
So it's flying under the radar quite a bit as well.
Yes, yes. So that's all, because we only have two guests this week. We think that will be the format from now on, because Tuesdays are getting increasingly hectic for me. But any plans for the weekend, or are you just going to take it easy now after your...
It's the weather so good, it's hard to sit in, depending on how I feel. But
is Love Island still on?
Yeah, it's shit, though. It's got shit.
Ever since your girl left?
Yeah, I haven't really enjoyed
it
as much.
Have you approached her? Have you tried?
No, I thought someone on Twitter would have started a campaign, but that fell by the wayside. It was very disappointing.
Easel didn't even do it. I thought she would definitely do it.
No, yeah.
I thought if anyone was going to be out there sorting these two guys out, it's Easel.
Yeah, Easel Cody, you're a disgrace.
Look, we forgive you this time.
Yeah, no, I had a good weekend, so I'll probably chill this weekend. Have a nice one. Get some things together I'm working on. And
get back to your meditation probably as well.
Yeah, probably get to my... I'm going to actually... become a monk.
Yeah. As you do on occasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, no, won a few quid on Larry at the weekend. Happy with that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You've once again called it, and once again, you know, in fairness, right? It was my birthday. I was
drinking.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted my funds to be dedicated towards that noble cause. But as soon as I woke up, I think Friday morning, Larry was out in front. I was like, ah, oh, odds were sliced. many, many different ways.
Yeah.
They were gone right down. So I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were like that, especially after he put a serious round in on Saturday, 63. And
yeah,
it was over after that.
63, yeah.
It was brilliant. Great offering, man. Sure, he's the talk of the town, Peter.
Yeah, I believe he's come up to the capital today. Fair play to him.
He has indeed. He's going back down tomorrow. There's a party in his local GAA club.
Your nephews met him and all, did they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a lovely guy, Shane. So my brother-in-law would have dealings with him, yeah. So
selling drugs, does he?
No. Not at all. Don't be saying that. So they had the Clark jug there today, a couple of my nephews and stuff, which was nice to see. And
didn't see him Blanche, mad.
No, I don't think he would be going to those parts. Do you know what golf is in Blanche's town?
No, we have a pitch of book course though.
Do you? I'd say it's well hacked up at the weekend.
It's in bits. Cars burned out on the greens.
Listen, fair play to Larry. It was an incredible victory. And looking forward to just probably chilling after last weekend's.
No big cricket games this weekend or anything?
No. There's a fight I'm going to watch. Frankie Edgar and thing.
Never heard of him.
No, but, don't know who he is.
Look, thanks very much to our beautiful guests this week, Leon Edwards and Jan Blachowicz. Fantastic
pronunciation, Blachowicz.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying my best. I feel like every time I get on the phone with him, I mess it up though, and he's like, come on, Petey. Jesus.
Petey, I'm going to eat your head off.
I wanted to just call him Polish Steel from now on, but that's out the window. So
I think that's a great name.
He was disgusted. I feel like he went easy on me. Like, he could have slated me if I was a native Polish speaker.
Did you
stop
the interview?
No.
It probably wouldn't have gone down well if it was live.
What do you think of Polish Steel? Silence. So these things happen in rock and roll. We can only move on. It's been beautiful to spend time with you as always.
No? It has. A very hot Dublin.
You're always delicious.
Hotter than normal, I'd like to think. New haircut as well. You didn't see the haircut of a
no,
hat on.
You have it under a hat there.
Look.
It looks absolutely stunning.
It does.
And so, I mean, you're a far cry away from Ryan Curtis cutting the mullet into that hair now, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I am a bit, honestly.
You've done the...
But my hair does grow like wildfire.
You've done reds are in the burger joint. Next one has to be Ryan Curtis cutting a mullet into your head. I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, someone want to fucking pay me to do it. Grand, yeah.
We'll start a Patreon. Yeah. But that's everything we have for you this week, lads. Thanks very much. We love yous loads. And stay beautiful.
Stay sunny, Dublin.